Hey, it's good to see everyone this morning. If you're following along in your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, starting in the first verse. Now, a couple of weeks after hearing a sermon on Psalm 51, verses 2 through 4, which is knowing my own hidden secrets, and Psalm 52, 3 through 4, lies and deceit, a man wrote the following letter to the IRS. I have been unable to sleep, knowing I have cheated on my income tax. I understand my taxable income, and I have enclosed a check for $150. If I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. So, you know, making atonement is something people like to do, and the Bible talks about atonement. And we do have atonement in Christ. So, let's read our text, or at least the first 10 verses of chapter 16 of Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in a cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put it on the holy linen cloth, and shall have the linen undergarments on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water, and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and other for Azrael. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azrael." So the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life." And the same Apostle in the book of Revelation writes in Revelation 13:8 that Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain from the creation of the world. Before God even created the world, before he set the stars in place, and before he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man and in woman, God knew that mankind would fall. He knew that mankind would sin and rebel against him. And knowing this, God planned and God set into motion the means for mankind's redemption through the death and atoning sacrifice of the Lamb, his Son, Jesus Christ. And that plan would dramatically unfold throughout the years of human history. And at just the right time, at just the right moment in human history, God came and dwelt with man to make atonement for and to redeem fallen men. The world in Palestine 2,000 years ago was ripe. It was ready and it was prepared for the coming of the Lamb of God, like no other time before or since. Today we're going to study a day of atonement that is described in detail in chapter 16 of Leviticus. In this chapter, God, the master painter, takes out the canvas, the paint and the brush of the world, and as he skillfully blends the colors together and makes up his masterpiece, the words from the 16th chapter come to life on that canvas. And as he dips his brush for the last and final stroke of red, the heart of God is heading, and a tear rolls down the cheek of the Almighty as the colors and shadows and as the images of the canvas tear at his heart, bringing to his mind the great suffering that his own son would have to endure someday. So as we study chapter 16 of Leviticus, we'll go through the kind of the art gallery, so to speak, and as we look upon the walls, we'll see, you know, a couple of masterpieces there. Three works that bring life and power to the purpose of the Day of Atonement. So, we read the first 10 verses The first picture we come to is entitled The Great Priest, and it's a portrait of Christ our Mediator. As with all the masterpieces we'll look at today, we'll look at this picture in the shadow of the Old Testament, after which we'll pull the picture off the wall and enjoy its full beauty and glory as we examine it in light of the New Testament. Now the crowd slowly gathered as they were quiet, and they were reverent, a little afraid, as they gathered around the tent of meeting. It was a great day of atonement. This was the day that God Himself had appointed. It was the day when Aaron, their high priest, would be the mediator, when Aaron, their high priest, would stand between God and the people. On this day, the seventh month, the tenth day, atonement would be made for their sins. This atonement provided the way for the people to be at one with God, to roll back their sins for one more year. And Moses' brother Aaron was the high priest. He was the one chosen to be that mediator, chosen to stand between God and the people, to be behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. And even though this was without doubt, a high and honorable position for these people, Aaron was allowed to go into the most holy place only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, they had a thick veil in a tabernacle, and beyond that was the Holy of Holies. That's when Jesus died, it was rent in two. It was torn apart, because no longer will we have that same system. There's a room that the Ark of the Covenant was kept before it was taken away. And on the top of the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold, was the atonement cover with two angels on top, with their wings folded down, bowing towards the center of the cover. And above the center was a cloud in which dwelt the presence of God. Only Aaron, the high priest, could enter this, and only once a year. Can you imagine how he felt as he slowly walked through the holy tabernacle, past all the stuff that was laid out there, and then with his head bowed low, he passed through the thick veil that was there, and now he's in the most holy place. It's just him, and it's just God. The Holy of Holies, and he turned, and there right above the Ark of the Covenant was the very glory of God. Now, Jewish tradition tells us that they sewed bells into the bottom hem of the high priest's robes, and they also tied a rope around his ankle, so that whenever the high priest walked into the Holy of Holies, they would have heard the bells. If the bell stopped ringing, they would mean something had happened to the high priest, and no one dared to enter that Holy of Holies. See what happened. So they used the rope to pull out the high priest. They weren't going to defy what God put in order. They weren't going to defy what God set in place to do. Now the God of Israel, and our God is a holy God. And man, even if he is the high priest, could not simply crawl out of bed and walk out of his tent and walk into the presence of God. There were certain things that he was required to do before allowed access there. If he came in without meeting the standards, he would be met with the same faith as Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. Remember, they made the strange fire, the strange sacrifice for God, and was struck dead. Aaron had to bathe himself and put on the garments that were mentioned, and he had, to be spotless in his dress. And because Aaron was not without sins, he first had to make an atonement for his own sins and for the sins of his household by sacrificing a bull. That kind of reflects that we have our own sin in our lives. And before we help others, we have to work on our sin too. It's not a call not to call out sin when sin is there, but it's also a call to work on our own sins too, and to realize we're as sinful as the next person. Now, only when Aaron, the high priest, had made himself ready, could he take the blood of the sacrificed animal into the presence of God. So every year, the high priest bore the heavy burden of being the mediator between God and his people. Every year he offered the same sacrifices. And every year the responsibility was all his. He had to do it alone. No one was allowed to be with him or help him as he carried out this vital task for the Israelites. With a tremendous weight, with a colossal burden, the high priest, year after year, he knew that in 365 years, 365 days, he'd have to do it again. So he painstakingly and trying was his work. He did his best over the Jews, and they would gather around in sympathy and congratulations that he was brought through it safely. They feared God, and they didn't know what was going to happen to him. if he didn't do it quite right, they didn't know what God's reaction would be. Now we walk over and take this Old Testament painting, the great priest, and now we view it in the light of the New Testament. Aaron was a good high priest, and over the next 1400 years, I'm sure that there were other high priests that were there that were good. They did their best, but they were merely men. They were like you and me. They were appointed with this difficult task. And as the light of God reveals, word shines on the Old Testament high priest, we see that in this new picture, Christ, who is our mediator, the one stands between God and all the people. We have a new high priest. So let's read some scriptures from the book of Hebrews. And they clearly demonstrate that Christ is a far better high priest. If we turn to the book of Hebrews, the first verse is in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. Chapter 7, verse 27. Get the right page here. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people.